Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. So our gospel begins this morning after Jesus was up all night on a mountaintop praying. And now he's with his disciples, and he selected the 12 he commissions as his apostles, the men who will teach and heal in his name. And there's also a big crowd there, full of curious people who want to hear Jesus and be healed. Now, looking at his disciples and speaking directly to them, Jesus talks about blessings and woes in a very unexpected way. I mean, why would Jesus tell anyone it's a blessing? It's a good thing to be poor and hungry, sad, or hated. And then to counter that it's a problem or a woe to be rich, full, laughing, or well thought of. You know, what is this seemingly backwards lesson all about? Jesus is describing the reality of what life will be like when the 12 disciples dedicate themselves as his apostles. Things are going to change and it's going to be rough. Poverty, hunger, sorrow, and being hated will happen. And their consolation? A promise to be filled and to laugh and be blessed when they're in heaven. Right up front, Jesus tells them that being his followers will be full of difficulties. Now, Jesus is not saying to pursue a life of pain or to seek out persecution. He's just stating the facts of what it's like to be his apostle. And then Jesus gives this other uncomfortable statement. Woe to you who are rich, full, laughing, and well thought of, because soon you will weep and mourn. Well, you know, Jesus' disciples, they had families, they had homes, businesses, and full lives. The warning of woe to you also applied to most of them. Now, Jesus isn't saying being rich or full or well-liked is wrong. He's just clarifying that following him is going to be challenging, especially if your stuff is more important than living as Jesus asks, which is to put God before all else. You know, Jesus loves to do this, and he does it frequently, where he reversed the understanding of something, and he's reversing the understanding of success and rewards, of the haves and the have-nots. Now, you know, it sounds backwards. He says it's better to be poor and hungry, and it's an issue if you're rich and full? Well, it is if we forget that in God's kingdom, everyone is valued and loved equally, regardless of worldly standards. Jesus is letting his followers know that there will be tough times ahead for anyone who fails to remember that God is the source of all we have, and God is the source of all meaning and joy. You know, this is the difference between an earthly kingdom and the kingdom of God. In an earthly society, no matter what economic structure is used, there are going to be powerful people who do not care about the less powerful. And they'll be rich and poor, full and hungry, housed and homeless. But when we move into God's kingdom by accepting the invitation to be a follower of Jesus, well, we don't accept that. We don't live with that imbalance anymore. A life implementing what Jesus taught about blessing and woes means we share the results of our successes, our wealth, and our gifts, because we know that they're all from God. And it's living, focusing our efforts on bringing about God's will before our own. Oh, and that requires a commitment to let God guide our actions. You know, Jesus is warning the rich and the successful. And by most definitions, most of us fit in that category, that if we put our trust and our faith in ourselves, instead of trusting in God and the gifts God has given us, then we are living outside of God's design, and that's going to cost us. Over and over again in Scripture, we are invited to trust and to depend on God, not our own ability or our own wisdom. You know, God wants us so connected to Him that everything else falls in line behind God. Now, that's the kind of reliance and intimate relationship God wants with all of us. A life where we are aware of our dependence on God, not on ourselves. And then Jesus really emphasizes this when he says, God's favor rests on those who have nothing else but to rely on God. The blessing and woes of Jesus' sermon only make sense with this understanding of what God wants. We are to live so dependent on God that we acknowledge that God provides all we have and that we rely on Him for everything. Well, this is one uncomfortable sermon for most of us. Most of us, most of the time, are not solely focused on God and our need for God. We get caught up relying on ourselves and on our own abilities. And we know we all do this, because when things are okay, we don't completely forget about our dependency on God, but it's way in the back of our minds. And because we know this, when we face a crisis, or if we even seriously consider what it would be like to lose everything or to be completely lost, oh, our awareness of needing God and being dependent on God comes right to the forefront so quickly. I mean, we've all begged God, right? When we find our satisfaction in our stuff or our accomplishments or our ability to make money, and we forget that it's all a gift from God, Jesus warns us, you just may have already received your consolation. It's in our stuff, and in our accomplishments, and in our money. And though we do appreciate and like and need all that stuff, no thing, no accomplishment, no amount of money loves us. When we are content with being full, and those around us are hungry, and we don't do anything to correct this wrong, we'll end up being hungry for something much more satisfying than food. And when we ignore the issues and the challenges of others, and we focus on our own happiness, we will mourn and weep for true connection and love someday. And if we get full of ourselves living outside of God's design, when we know we're called to help bring about the kingdom of God, and we don't do our part, well, Jesus reminds us that we will be treated like the false prophets. And it didn't turn out so well for them. This world is not the way things are supposed to be. It's just the way things are. And Jesus challenges us to make it right, to make this world as God intended. So when we seek riches and prestige as the world encourages us, and then we're fully satisfied with our life, thinking we are independent from God, Jesus tells us we already have our reward. It's the riches and the prestige. But when we live dependent on God and living out God's will, we're blessed, whether we're rich or poor, full or hungry, admired or hated. Those who have nothing and those who have lost what little they have, oh boy, they can teach us. Because they have nothing to count on, they count on God. Because there is no one to rely on, they rely on God. And the poor are blessed not because their poverty makes them morally or spiritually superior. They're blessed and favored by God because they are living in a situation that is contrary to God's will. We are all invited to participate in bringing about the kingdom of God right here and right now. And accepting this invitation means we want a deeper relationship with God, and we're open to changing our attitude and our actions, specifically about what we do with what we have. God wants those of us with enough to correct the imbalance between the haves and the have-nots. God didn't create that imbalance following the desire to put our own will before God's will did that. God wants us to look with compassion and act with generosity towards those who have less than us. God needs us to share what we have, and this will bring us blessings. You know, Jesus' sermon on the plain, which we heard in Luke's gospel, is similar to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel. And they're both really challenging to our ears. Following Jesus asks a lot of us. We have important work to do, and we have some significant things to think about. It's not wrong to have wealth, and it's not wrong to be happy, and it's not wrong for people to think well of you. Jesus is reminding us that it's all from God, and we're to rely on God, not on ourselves. So we have to wonder, are we reliant on ourselves and focused on our stuff, forgetting that all of us are completely dependent on God for all we have? Are we lining up our wills to God's will, as Jesus teaches, to use what we have to care for the least and the poor and the hungry? Are our choices setting us up for blessings or for woes? Amen.